From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Crab and Kodiak are inextricably linked. It's been said that Kodiak is the birthplace of the modern crab fishery, and every year in late May, Kodiak has a crab festival. It features live local music, an art show, rides, and a parade, as well as favorite local foods, including barbecued pork on a stick, Salvadoran pupusas, and a doughy deep-fried creation called a Bruin Burger. The festivities are many. Yes, the Kodiak Crab Festival has everything a crab festival could ask for except for crab. It was once called the King Crab Festival and started in 1958 with an eye to marketing a new American fishery, Alaskan red king crab. After the precipitous decline of king crab in the Gulf of Alaska, the festival dropped the king and it became the Crab Festival as fishermen turned their attention to the spidery bear dye crab. Since the crash of that species, the crab in the Crab Festival has mostly been frozen deep sea brown crab brought in from the far Aleutians, if any. But this year, the bear dye fishery opens again on January 15th, and Kodiak crabbers are carefully rigging the 20 pots allowed to them. On the storied Kodiak boat Irene H, the crew are changing lines and snipping zip ties as they tune up the gear. They are busily changing out the tanner boards that restrict the tunnels of the pots. The tunnels are the web-covered ramps that lead the crab inside the pot, but are impossible to climb back out through once the crab drops inside. The tanner boards narrow the tunnels, so the dinner plate-shaped bear dye are the pot's most likely victim. Next, they tie the new shots of line they cut the day before to the bridle and the buoys to the lines. Everything goes inside the pot, and they stack the pot on deck while the eagles sing in the background. Tell you, back in the day, we used to carry these one by one from the yard by hand, right, John? One person per pot. It took
a
few weeks. In the snow. We got boots after the season, after you earned them.
We didn't deserve boots.
We didn't deserve boots at first. No gloves, no rain gear.
One boot.
One boot. Well, yeah, right.
One boot between us.
Split a pair of boots. You'd hop a lot.
Everybody was covered.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The next day, it's off to the cannery to load bait. This is done with the boat's crane and what are called flying forks. Flying forks are the invention of a mad genius. They are essentially forklift forks at the end of a crane that can be slid under a heavy load so that it can be lifted quickly and insanely. The other knuckle.
Thank you.
Fork trucks skillfully maneuver around the icy dock as the dock workers slide to the side at the last second like matadors, then push the flying forks under the 1,000-pound totes of bait. The crew loads tall stacks of boxed herring, big metal baskets full of bags of pollock, and plastic totes of halibut heads, saved from last year's longline season. Boats only come to a dock for two reasons, to take things off and to load things on. It's a part of the job I miss. And there is something compellingly primal and satisfying about crabbing. The act of pushing 700-pound crab pots around on deck, the satisfying sound of the steel bars clapping up against each other, and the feel of a tight clove hitch. It is industrial strength hunting and gathering. May it never fade from this earth.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting that was planned for this month in Ketchikan will be held in Anchorage instead in March. The decision is a loss for Ketchikan's winter economy and is leaving some feeling cut out of the decision-making process. Joe Vicknicki has this report.
The seven-person board decides on regulations for state-managed commercial sport and subsistence fisheries. It was scheduled to tackle over 150 proposals for southeast fisheries starting January 4th at the Ted Ferry Civic Center in Ketchikan after a year of pandemic-related postponements. This month it was postponed again because of rising COVID case counts in southeast. Now that meeting's planned to start March 10th at the Egan Center in Anchorage.
A lot of things at play, and I guess I would call it almost retreating at this point, but we're looking at conducting the rest of our meeting schedule in Anchorage.
Glenn Haight is the board's executive director.
You know, first thing is we want to try to get past this surge, and so no guarantees we can do that, but come March, we think it's a little safer than earlier. Gives us at least about a month and a half to get past it.
Haight says Anchorage's larger hospital capacity also played a role in the decision as the state sees COVID case numbers set new record highs this month. He says meetings for other parts of the state might be affected if the board postponed the southeast meeting further.
All indications I've got for the board is they really feel the need to get this meeting cycle done this year so they can move on to the next one next year. And any loading up that you do, postponing you do, is going to require likely enough additional budget, and you know that has its own set of challenges.
Because of the move, Southeast residents who can't travel to Anchorage will have a chance to testify remotely from some Department of Fish and Game offices during the meeting. The board will consider changes to herring fisheries first because herring seasons start up in March. Salmon and other finfish proposals will be next, followed by shellfish and groundfish. Leaders with Ketchikan's tribal and local governments say they're disappointed by the decision. Gloria Burns, president of Ketchikan Indian Communities Tribal Council, says KIC spent a great deal of time and energy preparing for in-person testimony by its members, with much of that centering around the traditional harvest of herring eggs. Now she says the meeting will take place during the heart of the herring egg harvest season.
It is almost feels as though from my perspective, this is just as though it's a purposeful intent to go ahead and keep the testimony that could have been provided from being provided in person.
The Southeast meeting includes proposals from both subsistence and commercial harvesters to change the state's management of the commercial sacro herring fishery in Sitka Sound. Ketchikan City Mayor Dave Kiefer says the move disenfranchises people from Southeast. He says phone or video testimony is not as effective, and he'd rather the meeting be rescheduled for a later date in Ketchikan. He calls the decision a double whammy for his community.
First of all, the financial impact of being able to have between 100 and 200 people come into town, staying in hotels, eating at restaurants, buying things. The simple fact that we'll lose at least $20,000 on renting our civic center. You know, you're looking easily at a $100,000 to $200,000 hit to our community that we were kind of counting on, given all the other economic issues that are swirling around us.
Other organizations like the Juneau-based hunting and fishing group, Territorial Sportsmen, and the commercial fishing organization, Alaska Trollers Association, last year asked for a delay until 2023 because of health concerns and COVID spread. Commercial salmon troller Matt Donahoe of Sitka says he'd prefer the meeting be held in Southeast, but he was concerned with holding an in-person gathering in Ketchikan. The biggest problem he now sees is the new dates overlap with the end of Southeast winter troll fishing.
These trollers were really, really no-win choice of staying in town or going to Anchorage for the Board of Fish or getting that last trip in between the 10th and the 15th of March, which last year in 2021 was the most lucrative trip of the winter troll season.
Donahoe is hopeful the board will deal with salmon proposals at the end of the meeting. That would allow troll fishermen to finish up their season and attend the meeting as well. Other commercial fisheries for herring eggs, crab, halibut, and black cod are underway just before or after the new meeting date. The board also had a meeting scheduled in March on statewide shellfish proposals. Now that could be pushed back to later that month or into April. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.